Proverbs chapter 3, and the Bible says in verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct thy path." Let's read it again one more time. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." We're going to pray, but before we do, two things. If you are a veteran, we have a gift for you out on the back table. A bag with some treats and things in it Miss Rose made for you. If you'll get that, we would appreciate you as our thank you to you. And if you do not have a bulletin, would you raise your hand? We would like to give you one so you can follow along with notes. Just hold your hand up. We'll get you the bulletin. The outline for the sermon is on the back. On the inside, there is also an insert that we need you to take a look at and fill out if you so desire, please. And when you're done with that, you can give that to Pastor Ashton or me or Miss Jessica or Michelle. Just give it to somebody that looks like they know what they're doing, okay? All right, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. We read it. Now, brother, can you ask the blessing on the sermon this morning?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this morning. And we just ask you, Lord, that please, that we observe your word that's coming to us, Lord, and that we live it out, not just hear it, Father. And we thank you for the work that Pastor Cummins has put into this, Lord. And we just thank you again, Father, for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know who to marry, where to go to college, what house to buy, where to live, what church to go to, who not to marry? Life has a lot of decisions, right? And I got to thinking about this sermon because two things happened. Somebody asked me some advice about going to college, and then Brother Santiago is about to retire from the military after 32 years, and the military life, it's like this. You don't have to decide where you want to live, right? They say, go live here. You don't have to wake up in the morning and say, what should I wear? That's decided for you, right? You do not have to decide what job you're going to do. That's decided for you. You don't decide who you're going to work with. There are so many things that you don't decide. Now he's transitioning out of that, and now all of a sudden these options open up. Where do I want to live? Do I want to go to Georgia, Missouri? Do I want to stay here? Do I want to go somewhere else? Do I want to just travel? He has to decide what to wear. Now, it's not that he's no longer going to be told where to live, right? The Lord still knows where he wants him to live. Amen. So he's just changing commands, right? And how do you know when you're faced with those kinds of decisions? I mean, what do you do? Now, here's one thing I want you to understand about the will of God. Is the will of God is, it's like those two lines, and you're not, there's some things about the will of God you're not going to change, right? The will of God is like an ocean liner that is headed to heaven, okay? And Nothing you can do is going to stop the kingdom of this world from becoming the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nothing you can do will stop the fact that Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of David. Amen. Right? He's going to come back for his church. There's nothing that anybody can do, including the devil, to stop that. The devil is going to be thrown into a pit one day. He's not yet. God hasn't bound him yet, and you can't bind him. He's not thrown into a pit yet, but one day he will be, and that is the will of God, and nothing you can do can change that. That's where the ocean liner's going. Okay? Now, within that ocean liner, within the prevailing will of God, is my life. Okay? Now that's inside the will of God. And this is the permissive will of God. Somebody said the will of God is like a great piece of music. It was a blessing to hear my son play this morning, but it's like a great piece of music that's orchestrated and written out. And nothing I can do can change the music, but I am judged by how well I played the music. Right? And God doesn't force me to play it properly. But listen, at the judgment seat of Christ, what the will of God is, inside the permissive will of God, whether you choose to live for God or choose not to live for God, will make a difference. Right? Some people have this idea of the will of God. It's just going to happen. There's nothing I have to do. I don't have to worry about it. It's just going to happen. What's going to happen is going to happen, and that's not true. If you want to waste your life, God will allow you to waste your life. He will. If you are on the ocean liner that is headed for heaven, the will of God, and you decide to waste your time and play checkers, and that's all you do, then you're going to get to the judgment seat of Christ, and your entire life is going to be burn up, wood, hay, and stubble, because you did not do the will of God. You were inside the permissive will of God, but you didn't do what He wanted you to do. See, most of us, it's like this. We get saved. This is my life. And we go to the cross of Calvary, and we get saved, and then those two lines represent the will of God for my life. And I get right with God, I get saved, and then I decide not to serve God and do something else, and I'm going here. And then towards the end of my life, I say, hey, I can't live like this. I got to get right, and I get back into the will of God. And then other people, they get saved, and it's like this. I'm serving God, and I'm being drawn away. Oh, no, the Holy Spirit convicts me. Then I go too far this way. But generally, they stay with inside the will of God for their life. They get out sometimes, get back in. But if you do the will of God for your life and you get to the judgment seat of Christ, there's some 30-fold, right, of fruitfulness for God. There's some 60-fold, and there's some 100-fold. The 100-fold is when you stay inside the will of God for your life, and you do what. But most people, they literally live their entire life outside the will of God for their life. There's people this morning, they're not even close to where God wants them to do and doing what He wants them to do. And so, I want to get to the judgment seat of Christ, and I want to have a great reward to give back to my Savior, because I stayed inside of His will. So when you're faced with these decisions, what should I do? Where should I live? Who should I marry? Where should I go to church? What should I do? Here's some things that I think will help you find the will of God for your life. Are we on the same page? So what are those things? Well, number one, you need to stop scheming and start trusting. He said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That means I am now not scheming out my life. I understand that God possesses me and I trust Him for where my life is supposed to go. No slave that was ever auctioned off on a slave block got done with the auction and they walked down to the person that purchased them and they said, "Good, thank you for buying me. Now let me tell you what I have planned for my life." That never happened. They said, "Okay." Now, I'm not agreeing. I don't believe that it is right. But the Lord says that we are bond servants of Christ. We're servants of Christ. And He bought us as a purchased possession. And that illustration of us being for sale on the auction block and the Lord dying for us and giving His blood and purchasing us is a great picture of the Christian life. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. You don't get to decide what you want to do in life. It doesn't work that way. The Lord bought you. He paid for you. He shed His blood for you. And He purchased you. The Bible said you are you are His possession. And you don't walk up to Him and say, "Good, thank you for dying for me. I'm so glad I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Now let me tell you what I'm going to do in life. I'm going to go to college and I'm going to become an engineer and I'm going to then go work for Boeing. And after I'm done working for Boeing for 3 years, I am going to go buy a retirement place in Aspen and I am going to ski." How old would you be? 70? Yeah, you're not going to ski. You don't get to do that. Why? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You stop planning it out. And now you have to go to Him and get the plans. You have to trust Him. I want you to take your Bible and turn to James chapter 4. And let me show you what I'm talking about. James chapter 4. Well, here's what you need to do. Paris Reed had said this. And if you ever want to listen to some good sermons that will make you think, then just go on YouTube and type in Paris Reedhead and listen to a sermon called 10 Shekels in a Shirt. Change your life, right? But he said this, you have to get out of the car and take the keys and open the trunk lid and hand the keys to the Lord Jesus and get inside and whisper through the keyhole, "Lord, fill her up with whatever you want. And when you go, drive wherever you want. From now on, it's up to you." That's what you ought to do. Hand them the keys, get in the trunk, slam the lid, and say, "Fill her up with whatever you want. Go wherever you want. Lord, from now on, it is up to you." And if you're not there, you are not going to find the will of God in your life. It's not possible for you to find the will of God in your life unless you have stopped scheming and you have started trusting and you have started looking to the Lord for your plans. You'll never find it. You'll spend your entire life outside of the will of God. You got it. Look at this. James chapter 4 and verse 13. "Go to now, ye that say." We would say it like this. Come on, guys. Come now. Come now, ye that say. He said, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell get gain, and get gain." You see what they're doing? They say, "Tomorrow we're going to go down to the Alamo, and for a year we're going to stay in front of the Alamo and we're going to sell snow cones." He said, why? "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away." Here's what you ought to say. "For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or that." God willing. And then look what he says in verse 16. But now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. Do you realize that it is evil to make plans without considering Him and asking Him? It's evil. It's not only not right, it is evil. It's evil for you to decide where you're going to live and who you're going to marry and where you're going to college and what you're going to do for work, because you are bought with a price, and it's wrong for you to plan out your own life without considering Him. Now, it's good to have a plan, right? But it's if the Lord will. The good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. If God is willing, if God wants me to, I am open to Him changing. This is what I believe He wants me to do, but God knows and I don't. Lord willing, we'll do this or that. You're bought with a price. Stop planning out your own life. Stop finding your plan for your life. And ask God, you know what we do? We all do this. We plan out our life, and then we ask God to endorse our plans. Right? You see, we're not following God. We're trying to get Him to follow us. Isn't that true? God, here's what my plan. Lord, help, please, God. You know, I want to marry this person, and please let her say yes. And what if God doesn't want you to? Lord, give me this job. Why not? Lord, I think that I need something better. I think I need something different. And this is what but God, you know. You know. Lord, this is what I think, but look, I could be wrong. Let me know, Lord. There was a man, and he was habitat challenged. He didn't have a place to live. And he used to wander around the country, just walking from one side of the country to the other, like Forrest Gump, except slower, and asking for food and things wherever he went. And people said to him, they say, how do you decide where to go? And he said, it doesn't matter to me. It makes no difference. I mean, don't have anywhere to be. I don't have anywhere to go. I just go. And they said to him, well, what happens when you come to a fork in the road? He said, well, that's just easy. He said, I just take a stick and I throw it up in the air, and wherever it lands, that's the way I go. And he said, sometimes I have to throw it in the air 7 or 8 times to get it to land right. You know? Some of you, God, what do you want me to do? And God shows you, and you keep throwing the stick up. You're like, are you sure? Are you sure? And then you keep praying, even after God says no, and you keep forcing your hand, and keep forcing your hand. And you know what God says? Okay, do what you want to do. The illustration of this is Balaam. How many of you know who Balaam was? And Balaam was a witch doctor. He was the Kudunderis, and you could go to him, and you could buy some eggs and some chicken's feet, and he would put curses on people for you. That was his business. He had an office here in San Antonio. And many of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about? This guy knows what I'm talking about. No. So he would go there, and this guy named Balak, he came up to Balaam, and he said, hey, Balaam, listen, I don't like the children of Israel. They're encroaching on our property, you know, and they're coming across the wall, and we don't like this. And so what we want you to do is we want you to curse them, right? Can you curse them? And he said, yeah. He said, we got all this money and we'll pay for this, whatever chicken's feet you need. You know, we'll give you a lot of money to curse them, Balaam. And Balaam said, okay, yeah, I'd like to do that. I'll curse them. And so if the Lord lets me curse them, I'll curse them. They're God's people, so I have to get permission from Him. And God told Balaam, don't go with them. And he tried to go anyway. And he said, if the men that call you go. You know what he did the next morning? He saddled up and went, even though they didn't call. And God tried to stop, don't go, don't go, don't go. He warned him, but then he let him go. And Balaam gets up there and he goes to the mountain and he's like, he tries to curse him, and God said, no, you can't do it. So he tries to bribe God, and he gets all these offerings, and he goes to a different mountain and tries to get it from a different angle. Maybe I can curse him if I'm looking over him from the backside and all this stuff, right? And God says, no, you can't curse them. And you know what Balaam did? He went to Balak and he said, I can't curse them, but I'll tell you how you can get God to get after them, and it'll accomplish the same purpose. You know what you do? You send some Midianitish women down there, and they'll like the way they look, and they'll start messing around, and then God will be their enemy, and it'll accomplish the same purpose. And I'll do that. Just give me the money, and I'll arrange that. And then Balaam goes to get paid, and he dies. Right? He kept doing it, trying to get God to endorse his plan. Are you, my friend, trying to get God to endorse your plan? Or are you open to asking him what his plan for your life is? Two totally different things. You got to stop scheming, and you have to start trusting. You know what we think sometimes is we believe that if we submit to the will of God, it's just going to be terrible. I mean, if I get down and say, God, I'll go wherever you want me to. Some of you think this. I say, come to the altar and submit to God wherever he wants you to go. And you say, I can't do that. If I go down there and submit to God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to send me to Africa, and I have to eat cockroaches, and I don't like roaches. I mean, he's going to send me all the way over there. And if I submit to God's plan, I've had a young person tell me, he's like, I want to marry a Christian woman, but I don't want to marry somebody that's ugly. I'm like, why do you think that God's will for your life has to be ugly? Do you not think that anybody wants to serve God that looks halfway, you know? They're not all like me. And he said, if I submit to God's will, I have to be broke. You don't know God very well. You don't spend a lot of time with him. Why do you think that about God? Has it ever occurred to you that God loves you so much that he died for you, and he cares for you, and he wants what's best for you, and he wants you to be in his will more than you want to be in his will? And God's best for you is also your best for yourself. But why? It's not bad. Trust God. You can trust him. And you put down your plans and start trusting him, and then you'll be able to find the will of God for your life. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 7 where people come and stand before God, and they say, Lord, we did all these wonderful things in your life. We cast out devils, we healed the sick, and the Lord said, I never knew you. They thought they were doing God's will, but they never asked him about it. See, we don't get rewarded for what we want to do. We only get rewarded for doing what God asks us to do. What has he asked you to do? He didn't ask them to do all those things. He never asked them to do it. They did it without asking God, and they were not rewarded. What does God want you to do? That's where the reward is. And you're not going to find it until you start trusting him. Number two, you have to stop doubting and start doing. Stop scheming, start trusting. Stop doubting and start doing. What are you talking about? He says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. Isn't that what it says? In all thy ways, What is a way? It's the things that you do. It's the way that you are. It's the things that you do. In your ways. It's the direction you're going. It's your decisions that you make. It's where you work. It's who you marry. It encompasses everything that you do in life. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. It's how you wake up and make breakfast. It's how you go to bed. It's what you make for dinner. It's how you talk to your dad. It's how you talk to your mom. It's how you talk to your children. It's how you respond to your husband. It's how you respond to your wife. It's how you respond to your coworkers. It's the feeling that you have when you look at your paycheck. It's what you say when the tire is flat. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and everything that you ever do any day, acknowledge Him. You know what that means? You have to stop doubting and start doing. Doing what? Doing the general will of God. If you start doing the revealed will of God, the general will of God, what you already know to do, what you don't have to pray about, then eventually you'll have to be able to find the implied will of God, the mysterious will of God, the specific will of God, the personal will of God. But there's enough revealed that you can get started without knowing that. Brother Mooberry's here, and we went to the same Bible school, and you know what they drilled in our head over and over from day one? Don't worry about what you're going to do when you graduate. Instead, be concerned with what you're supposed to do while you're in school. And so many people were concerned with what they were going to do in 3 years or 4 years when they graduated. That was all that was on their mind, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do today. The best preparation for tomorrow is to do what you ought to do today. Right? What am I going to do when I become a doctor? Well, you first have to become a doctor. And you're seven. Don't worry about it. What am I going to do when I do this? What if God calls me to... Look, don't worry. I have a young man, sometimes he would come around and he said, you know, I think God's calling me to be a missionary. And he's all worried about, how do I plan? I said, look, God is not going to send you across the sea when you can't even be faithful to church. I mean, look, you can't even show up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can't even show up 3 Sundays in a row. You've got to worry about being faithful in that which is least before you worry about, look, and today he's not in church. He's struggling with two things, a bottle and the will of God. You know, the Bible says, it says to add to your faith virtue. Okay? Start there. Do the revealed will of God, what He has already revealed. How many times have we run across people and they say, I think God led me to her. Is she saved? No. God didn't lead you to her. I think it was God just brought us together. You're married and she's married. God did not bring you together. There is nothing that you need to pray about. The revealed will of God says no. You are wrong. That's the will of God. You already know what to do. You don't need to pray about it. Do the revealed will of God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that happens with the Bible, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You say, I missed it. No, you didn't miss it. The will of God is like a GPS. It reroutes from where you are right now.
Amen.
Right now. You know what the will of God is for your life right now? Not to be conformed to this world, and to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that so you can prove what is the good. That's the will of God. Your transformation. God wants to transform you. You like the Transformers. Transform. Stop staying the same. Grow. I know it's stressful. You want to stay the same. No, God doesn't want you to stay the same. He has something better for you. And that's the will of God. And you'll never find it as long as you're conforming to everyone else's will for your life. For this is the will of God. Is that pretty clear? Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You know what God's will is for you men? To stop looking at bad things. That's the will of God. You don't have to pray about it. It's the will of God that you get control of your eyes and you get control of your thoughts. That's the will of God for your life. That's the will of God for my life. And once you start doing that, then God reveals other things to you. But first you have to start there. Here's something. And this is not fun. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for other people. For you. It's not the will of God for you to be depressed and moaning about your state in life and complaining about how much you get paid and who your husband is and who your wife is and how hard life is. That's not the will of God. It is not the will of God that you look at life like you just ate a lemon. It's so hard. No, that's not the will of God for your life. It's to give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my paycheck. Thank you for my food. Thank you. God, you are so good. Thank you, Lord. That's the will of God for your life. How do I find the will of God? I stop doubting and wondering what it is, and I start doing what God has already showed me. That's the way you'll find the will of God. Here's one. 2 Corinthians 8:3-5, it says, For to their power I bear them record, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by what? The will of God. Let me tell you something about the will of God. It's always connected to the people of God. It always is. The Bible says that He placed every one of us in the body as He sees fit. And the will of God is not for you to take a job that increases your portfolio but leaves you bankrupt at the judgment seat of Christ because you could no longer serve in a local church. That's not the will of God. God doesn't work like that. It is not the will of God to always be detached from the local body. It's the will of God for you to serve, to help, to give, to support, to love. It's the will of God to give yourself to the Lord and to other Christians. That's the will of God for your life. And anything that takes you away from that, that's not the will of God for your life. Do the general will of God, and the specific will of God will open up. I like it this. In Acts chapter 9, Apostle Paul gets saved. He's called Saul. And he falls to his feet, and the Lord said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." And then he asked this. He said, "What will thou have me to do?" And he said, "Rise and go there, and it'll be told what it will do." You know what the will of God was for Paul? To arise and go find Ananias. That was the will of God. Here's how God gives you instructions. I say to my children, "Son, I need you to cut the grass." Okay? But I don't say, "What I need you to do is go pick up all the trash, and then I need you to put the two-cycle oil in the gas, 50-to-1 ratio, mix it up, put it in the machinery, and prime it up, and start it, and then I want you to do all the edging, then come back and mow it, and then take all the grass clippings and put it in the green trash bin, and put it beside the curb, and then go blow off the side." You know why I don't tell them that? Because they can't handle that amount of information. So I tell them one thing at a time. And you know what God does in His mercy and His grace? He gives us one thing of instructions at a time. And that's all you have to worry about. Arise, go to Jerusalem. This is what I want you to do. Now, when you do that, God will show you the next thing when you get there. I'm very thankful that God did not give me an itinerary of my life planned out every 10 minutes. Because what would I need Him for? All right, God, I did it. My son, I did it. Now what do I do? Do you do this? Okay, now what do I do? You know what God wants us to do? Lord, I did it. Now what do you want me to do? Now what do you want me to do? Stop doubting and start doing. Everybody in here, you know what God wants you to do. You know what God wants you to do in so many areas of your life. And you're always worried about this big picture when you haven't done the revealed will of God yet. Stop doubting and start doing. And then number three, stop leading and start following. You ever tell someone to follow you home? Before you had the GPS in your phone, in your pocket? Follow me home. And you know what they always do? They always get in front of you. And if they're in front of me, they're not following me. And if they go down a different route, they're not following me. Look at, you don't write this down. Psalm 32:8. He said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye." Stop leading and start following. Miss Jessica Cruz and I were standing about right over here, and we were here. And we were talking, and she looks over there and she said, "Oh, Miss Michelle, she don't look happy. You remember that?" And I said, "No, she doesn't, but I don't think she's looking at you." And she said, "I'm scared." I said, "That makes two of us. We're both scared." And over here in the middle, the kids are messing around, and she's like, and all of a sudden they looked at her. They stopped doing, and then she went like this. And they walked over, and they sat down. That's how close that relationship is. That's how much love there is and trust there is in this relationship. She can just look at them and communicate with them without words. And that's how it's supposed to be with the Lord. God, what do you want me to do? Yeah, not that. You want me to do this? Okay. We used to neck rein horses in the worked with horses, and we would neck rein them. And when you neck rein a horse, you rein it to where you just lay the rein on the side of their neck, and they go. You just gently lay it beside, and they go. and or you can take them through the most precarious situations. Just guide them through it with your hand or with the rein. Just touching the side of their neck and they go that way. And you know what you're supposed to be? You're supposed to be close to the Lord, and thy presence is fullness of joy. And be close enough to Him. Listen, the will of God is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you're outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're never going to know His will. If you don't read your Bible and get close to Jesus Christ, you're not going to know His. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 6. The last reference we'll look at, Matthew chapter 6. Stop leading and start following. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. You pray, you read your Bible, you start listening. Every time you make a big decision, before you make that decision, pray, God show me, God give me wisdom. Pay attention to the things that bother you about that situation. Read your Bible, and God will show you something in that Bible that has nothing to do with the situation, but everything to do with it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? When you're making a decision, you're not supposed to think about the carnal things, the pros and cons, so to speak. For that's how the Gentiles do it. But God, your heavenly Father, knoweth that you have need of these things. Here's how He works with us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Find out what God wants you to do, and He'll take care of the logistics, right? Amen. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There was this young man with great ambitions and great opportunities and went to the preacher. And he had two, do I do this or do I do this? And the preacher said, okay, well, tell me about it. What happens if you do this? Well, if I do this, I get this amount of money, I get this opportunity, and get this opportunity, get this opportunity. What about this? Well, this is what this is, this is what this is. What are the cons? Well, there's not really any cons. And so the preacher took him to Matthew chapter 6. He said, read this. Now let me ask you some questions. What would put you in a better position to serve the Lord? What would put you in a better position to be a blessing to other people, to serve the Lord and to help? What would put your kids in a better position? What would put your family in a better position? Where does God want you to be on the map? Well, if I go here, I don't know where I'm going to end up. I don't know if there's any church. I don't know this. But I do know if I do this. So what does God want? Well, He wants this. You see, I can't tell you what to do. God can. I'm just saying that when you consider these things, it needs to be more than a list of pros and cons. And it needs to be, God, what do you want? And start following Him where He wants you to go. The Bible says this, I am crucified with Christ. Right? Nevertheless, I live now, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And if you think about that, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Say you're on a cross, okay? You know what you can't do when you're on a cross? You can't look back. You know what being crucified with Christ did? It took care of the past. So many people, they spend their entire life looking back. You know what it does? It takes care of the present when you're on the cross. Nobody on the cross says, hey, get me the tickets to the Spurs game tonight. Listen, what does the menu look like? Bring me the wing. I would like to have garlic wings. They don't say that. Their present is tied up with that cross, right? And it says, I am crucified with whom? Christ. So that means all of my plans and all of my present thing and all of my future, it's all tied up in Christ Jesus. His plans, His future. I'm crucified with Him. And I can't do what I want to do. It's in Christ. It's with Christ. When you're nailed, you can't go where you want. You have the crown of thorns. It has a humbling effect. You're no longer your own boss. You're under the Lord Jesus Christ. Your heart is pierced, so now it's His heart. There was an Arab, and he met a poor man. He was a farmer, and he had this land and a river running through it and a farm. And he never thought himself poor, but the man showed him a handful of diamonds. And he said, "Listen, if you just had a handful of diamonds this big, you could have anything that you wanted. And you would be wealthy. This handful of diamonds is worth more than this whole farm." And he said, "There's diamonds in this area." And so that poor man got rid of his farm, and he spent the rest of his life digging in the earth, looking for diamonds, and he never found anyone, and he became malnourished and hungry and broke. And one day he was walking by the river that went through his farm, and he got so despondent that he jumped in the river and drowned himself. The farmer came by, got his body, and while he was there getting his body, the story goes, over in the bank he saw something that gleamed and looked different, and he picked it up, put it in his pocket, and diamonds, when they're first come out, they're tarnished. They don't sparkle like they do on your ring. And it turned out that thing that he found was a diamond that was on the farm that he owned. And then they started doing testing, and it is said that that land that farmer owned became one of the greatest diamond mines in the world. And he left what he had and search for the will of God, and search for the diamonds, and the whole time they were right there. And if you want to find the will of God in your life, stop looking off in a faraway land and start digging in the soil of your own backyard. And you know what you'll find? You'll find the will of God, and you'll find diamonds. How do we find the will of God? We trust. We do. And we follow. What are you going to do? Does God want you to do what you're doing right now? Are you, think about it, ask yourself this question. Am I in the will of God? Is my life, am I doing what God wants me to do? Or am I just doing what I want to do? I can't answer that question. Is your life a picture of how God wants it to be? Are you in the will of God, or are you wasting your life? What will it look like at the judgment seat of Christ? Wood, hay, and stubble? 30, 60, 100 fold. Happy is the man that finds the will of God for his life and does it. If we'll bow your head and close your eyes, and the music will begin to play, and if God spoke to your heart, either pray in your seat or come to an altar. I don't know if you have a big decision to make. I don't know what next week holds. But would you trust the Lord and ask Him His plan? Will you do what you know to do? Would you follow? Let's just pray for a couple minutes. Do business with God.